Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to go to the book of Mark, chapter number 2. I apologize for the misprint, but I will correct that. From yesterday's Bible reading, if you read that, you realize that the second series of scriptures didn't go along with the first set of scriptures. And I did get some text, and we'll send out a correction for that. But please join us in 21 days of consecration. This is a tool you can pick up at the welcome desk so you can have your Bible reading organized and keep you focused and get us going in the right direction. I am so thankful for what God has done, and this song that we just sang just speaks volumes to the mercy of God and the grace of God and the kindness of God and our response to that. And I just know that in my humanity, when I give a gift, it's wonderful when somebody says thank you. And that's the way it is with God giving to us. I think that He likes it when we say thank you, and He loves it when we live thank you. And that's what I want to talk to us about this morning. In Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 5, we enter into the middle of a story. A man's sick. He has paralysis. His friends find out that Jesus is around. They go to the place where Jesus is, and it's crowded out, and they can't get in, and they don't have tickets to the event. And so they walk up the stairs to the top of the roof, and that's not an unusual thing. They didn't have air conditioning. So they'd sit in the cool of the day on the roof and enjoy fellowship, and they could talk to their neighbors over on the other roofs. And so they had probably walked up these stairs to the roof, and there was a thatch roof, and they had peeled back the thatch roof, and they had dropped their paralytic friend into the front of Jesus. And we find the words of Jesus. It says, and Jesus saw their faith. He didn't hear it. He saw it. They didn't say it, they did it. They didn't just have some song that they sang, and thank God for the songs we sang, but they showed it. And He said, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes that were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And there's a cue as to who Jesus is. But immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they reasoned within themselves, He said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier for to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he arose and took up his bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. And then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to them, and he taught them. Thank you for standing in honor to the Word of God and for worship. You may be seated. What a powerful and merciful God we serve. One who has transformed you and me by His power. By and large, those of us that are in the house of God today are here because God has revolutionized our life. We are not where we used to be, nor are we what we used to be. And we have lifted our hands and our hearts in praise and thanksgiving today. And just so you know, I don't tell the praise team or the worship leader. I haven't for years now when I'm preaching on Sunday, but here we are singing a song about thanksgiving and about praise and about worship for all that He has done. And I think that is very, very important that every day we thank God for what He has done in our lives and what He has promised to do. I've often made the following statement in response to the telling of the story of God's working in our individual lives. God is an economist. He doesn't waste anything. Right. Everything that happens in our life is for a purpose. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are be called according to his purpose. But God uses what looks to be rubbish to make something beautiful. And he uses a past event to strengthen a present event and set us up for the future. God is the original recycler. The way in which he created the world and all the cycles of life made them interdependent one upon another. The process of photosynthesis, the process of oxygenation where the trees breathe in the CO2 and expel the O2. God did that all, the times, the seasons, the turning of the clock. God also created a complete work when he wrote the plan of salvation. And it shouldn't be any surprise that the way that God works in our life is the way we see him work through creation. One of the tragic resulting consequences of the entrance of sin into the world is the effect on the human fabric of relationships. That it has been disastrous in the relationships of men. And we see that, can you imagine what must have happened when Adam showed up? You know, Adam and Eve have children, and now Eve can't go out and work with him in the field, and he shows up later than usual, and he's got blood on his hands, and he makes a little bit mess on the table linen, and his wife's saying, hey, be careful with that. And I'm thinking, he's thinking in his mind, woman, it's your fault. I wouldn't have to do this. I wouldn't have to go out and work like this. I wouldn't have been drugged by a thorn if you hadn't have given me that to eat. But of course, we know that Adam was just as culpable as Eve. But there was a stress put in there. And of course, we see the killing of Abel by Cain and the degeneration of societal thinking to where in Noah's day, the thoughts of men were only evil continually. We often, from afar and sometimes close up, see the lives that have been in turmoil for years because of unresolved sin issues, including you and I when we came to Jesus. In simple terms, if we don't confess and repent of the sins that we have committed, they remain on the books before God, and they remain in plain view of Satan, and he can use them as the accuser of the brethren. But the remaining visible things that are seen by you and I and others are only because they have not been covered by the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood that washes white as snow, that covers our sins. God is restrained by his word from forgiving sins unless they are brought properly. The consequence demanded by the law of the harvest remains in force. Our emotional health is plagued with guilt, and at times our physical man can become weakened or impaired, and Satan maintains the ability and the validity to use our sin against us. To give a little more understanding to the credence of the fact that sin is causing sickness and disease, I read a question to you that was asked by Jesus of his disciples in John 9:1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from where? Birth. And the disciples asked this misdirected question. They say, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And obviously it wasn't the man, because he couldn't sin in his mother's womb. He was born blind. But Jesus didn't ignore the question, and he didn't challenge the validity of the question. Jesus doesn't mind when we ask him a question, because he is the answer and he has the answers. He didn't say the question was absurd or simply refused to answer the question. But in the next verse, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Sin can be bring a result of sin, of sickness or disease. But Paul confirms the real reason for sickness in the church. And I'm not saying all sickness is this way, but in 1 Corinthians 11, when he's talking about observing the Lord's Supper and having respect for the broken body and the blood of Jesus, he says this: if you give no thought, or worse, don't care about the broken body of the Master when you eat and drink, you're running the risk of serious consequences. That is why so many of you, even now, are listless and sick, and others have gone to an early grave. This shows us that if we don't show proper respect to spiritual things, especially the sacrifice of Calvary, it has consequences on our emotional, mental, physical well-being. It can have disastrous consequences. So don't think that sin can't make a difference in your physical health or your emotional health. We sure know that, because all of us have been in that place where the guilt of our sin has separated us from God and cause friction in our interpersonal relationships. We've all been there. Some of the causes of sickness can be exposure to those that are sick, or disregard for the physical laws, or sin, or disregard for spiritual laws or spiritual things, or disrespect for the sacrifice of Calvary or God's commandment, or even unforgiveness. All of those things can cause sickness. We don't know all the reasons why people get sick. Why is it in this time when many have gotten sick with COVID, two people can be in one house and one gets sick and one doesn't? And they go and get the test and one tests positive and one tests negative. How is that? We don't understand that. Why is it one person can get sick and it seems like the consequences are disastrous, and the other, they're minimal? They're living in the same house, eating the same food. They're breathing the same air. They're sleeping in the same bed. And it just doesn't affect us all the same. We can't figure it out. But there are some things that we know that we can do to protect ourselves. And we do those things. Our original text today gives revelation as to the power of sin, and even greater, the power of the forgiveness of Christ. Why would Jesus say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," unless there was something wrong with the man's life? He said the recipient of the mercy of Christ in this setting was a man who had suffered some form of paralysis. His movement was restricted. He had pain. His lifestyle was not one of freedom but restriction. And he had become reliant on others to carry him about. And his life was not what it could be. And much of the pleasure of life had been stolen because of sin. Thank God for God. I am so glad that there's a hope, that there is a way out, that there is a solution, that there is somebody that can make a difference. Jesus approaches the issue of this man's sickness from the front door. We sometimes go through the back door. You know, if we have emotional problem and you want to go to the counselor, you talk about everything that you think is unrelated before you finally face the real issue. I mean, just think about it. I don't know how you are when you go to the doctor, but when I go to the doctor, it's usually because I feel something wrong. I don't talk about the weather, and I don't talk about my hangnail, and I don't talk about the color of my hair. I just say, "Doctor, I don't feel good. Fix me." That's the way it should be with Jesus. Sometimes we have a tendency to skirt the issue, right? God supply all my needs. God, you're so good. And he is, and he will supply all our needs. But it's like, wait, there's an elephant in the room. You know, it's swinging its trunk all around, and it's destroying our life. And we don't want to face the issue of our dishonesty or our immorality or our lack of a consecration to him, or devotion to him, or the fact that we've been spiritually lazy. And I know I'm speaking really bluntly, but let's be real about it. We're in Dr. Jesus' presence, and he's here today to heal us. He's here to restore us. He's here to fill us with joy and gladness. So Jesus was in the middle of teaching, And we know that he came to give abundant life. And there he is. Likely the straw had been falling from the ceiling in his, on his hair. And the conditions were less than ideal. And all of this is peeling back. And I don't know if he's one of those guys that just pretends it's not happening just so everybody else isn't distracted. But there had to be a few distractions and a few distracted people because the straw is being pulled back. And lo and behold, this man comes down in front of Jesus. There's no verbal request. There's nobody saying, heal me. The man doesn't even speak anything. But there's an obvious need and there is an obvious display of faith. This man needed a miracle, and the statement of Jesus was shocking, especially to the Pharisees in verse 5 when he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. He knew what the root cause was. He wasn't going to waste time. He wasn't practicing medicine. He wasn't saying, well, let's try this, and if this doesn't work, we try this, and I'm not saying anything negative about doctors, but just that's the way our bodies work. We work down the pecking order. You and I do it ourselves, so let's not be critical. You know, we have indigestion, so you take something, you take Pepto Bismol or you take a Tums, and if that doesn't work, then you try something else and you alter your what you're putting into your gullet, maybe you change all of your habits until you can get rid of the symptoms. Because there's a cause to it. But Jesus went right to the root cause. I am so thankful that he works that way. I don't have time to waste. I don't want to just walk through life just crippled for a long time. And God experimenting on me or practicing on me or beating around the bush. But I don't know how he works in your life. But when he works in my life, he said, quit being lazy. When he works in my life, he's saying, you have the sin of slothfulness. When he works in my life and I say something with a bad attitude, he smites my conscience immediately and addresses the issue. Why? Because he wants me to be saved. He wants me to stay saved. He wants me to be ready when he comes again. And Jesus is coming again. And he may come for you before he comes for me. Or he may come for me before he comes for you, because it's pointed unto man wants to die, and after that the judgment. So he says, your sins be forgiven you. I believe that would have been enough, and the heart of the Pharisees is revealed in the next two verses when they're reasoning in this heart, their hearts. In verse 7, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? He knew what they were thinking, and there's more than one place where Jesus knew what was going through their brain. This man's existence had been meager, limited, and defined by his past. And he was waiting for a future that only could be given by Jesus Christ. That's the way it was for you and me. We need to take just a short, brief trip down memory lane and remember what it was like when we were searching, when we were seeking, when we were hungry, when we were miserable, when we were lost and blind and naked, and we knew it, and we cried out to him and said, Father, forgive me. We need to remember that, where we came from. He found me a sinner. He found me with a heart filled with anger. He found me with a heart filled with rebellion. But oh, what joy, I've been forgiven. I've been set free. My heart rejoices. My spirit is thankful. That's the way you and I are. Oh, we were more than willing to face our sin. We were more than willing to see our shortcomings. We were more than willing to commit to make major changes in our life because we wanted freedom. We wanted salvation. I'm so thankful that Jesus knows what the thoughts and intents of our heart may be. Not only does he know, but he cares. And he cares enough to expose the inner workings of our lives so that he can bring us to a place where we will deal with the issues of the past, the issues that are hindering our present, the issues that are keeping us from the promise of a grand sinless future in his eternal presence. I'm so thankful that Jesus was not intimidated by the ugly attitudes of the hypocritical Pharisees. And I'll guarantee you that paralytic man was. You know, he didn't care what they thought. He just cared that Jesus could heal him. You know, it doesn't matter what others think. If our doctor says, cut back on the sugar, and we know we're dying, and we're our brains spinning and we can't think clear, then it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing in the room. If we want to think clear, we cut back on the sugar. Our doctor says, you don't eat that, you don't do that, you exercise this way, you abstain from this. And if the discomfort is enough, we'll do what needs to be done to get rid of the discomfort and the disease. And it matters not what's going on in everybody else's life. That's the way it has to be in our personal relationship with Jesus. That's the way it needs to be, and it is for me when I come to the house of God. I don't come so God can speak to about your sin. I come so he can speak about my sin. I don't come for others. I come for me. Now I come to be blessed and to be a blessing. It's a communal thing that we do. But I want God to speak clearly to me. It'd be horrible to get somebody else's prescription when you went to the pharmacy. Now I know this happens with old people. Mom takes dads and dad takes moms. You know, they get a little bit confused, and then all of a sudden they don't feel good, and they go to the doctor and they find out they've been taking the wrong pill. No wonder you don't feel good. Or you haven't been taking the pill and somebody else has been taking the pill. No, it can happen. It's the way it goes. God has something to say to you and to me. And I pray that you and I are open, and I feel that we are, for the Spirit of God to speak to us. But more than that, today, I know we can speak to him and we can say, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the mercies you have shown. Thank you for your tender goodness that you have spoken to my life. I'm not speaking in accusatory fashion, and my intent is not to dredge unresolved issues up. And I understand clearly the reason for this man's sickness, but I also understand the principle of 1 Corinthians 11 that we have read. If you're living, behold, lo, the freedom that Jesus has made available to you, go through the checklist and say, am I showing respect to your sacrifice? That doesn't mean, am I just acknowledging it, but I'm am I living as if it was worthwhile? Am I living in response to them? Some of you may be living way below the benefit level that Jesus has designed for your life. Let's clear the slate at the first of this year. Let's be honest with him. Let's just tell him the truth. And once you speak the truth, you don't have to tell another lie, because it's out there. It's up front and center. And I'm so glad his mercy endureth forever. I am so glad that he's here today. You may not even know the cause of your pain, and you might not even remember when the sickness came on. You may be watching some areas of your life fall apart, and you've tried every other solution you can think of. You may have heard others say there is no solution, or you may be waiting for someone to lead you to the solution. You may have a deep longing to be liberated from some past event, from the shadow of it covering your mind. You may be intimidated because a past of failures and finding solution, but Jesus can make the difference this time, this day, right now. Oh, what joy that he can bring forgiveness and we can have absolute freedom. Jesus knows our humanity. He knows how to deliver. He knows where you're living and the cause of your sickness. He knows why you are paralyzed and all about your fears and how to help you and exactly what to say. And it's the same God that spoke into the inky blackness of the far reaches of eternity past and said, let there be light, can speak into your life and your life and your life and my life and say, be free, be cleansed, be made whole. Rise, take up your bed and walk. When we leave his presence, we leave with the resonant sound of his voice in our mind and echoing through the chambers of our spirit, saying, you're free, 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 forgiven, 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 liberated, oh, saved. Thank God. I want to hear those words and play those words over and over and over again. But for some of us, it happens like it has with me. I can't remember the sound of my mother's voice or my father's voice. I suppose I could get the cassette tapes if I could find a cassette tape player and play a tape maybe or two of a funeral. Lately, I've saved people's voicemails that have passed away, and I've saved them in my voicemails so I can go back. And I listened to my pastor's voice the other day and thought, Stephen, it was good to hear your voice. And he talks to me, and I remember. But sometimes it's like that with God. If we've shut him out with our sin and our busyness and our distraction and our rituals, and yes, we can be just as ritualistic as Pentecostals as any other religion of the world and thinking that our religious rituals are going to save us, and we feel good because we pray every day and we read the Word and we give our tithe and we show up to church and we say amen and we even let a little tear fall when it's a sad song, and we get up and clap when it's a happy song. But that's not what it's all about. I've got to have the voice of God in my heart, in my spirit. Oh, God, speak to me again and again and again. I don't want to ever hear, forget what the sound of your voice is like. My sheep know my voice. You and I may be able to deceive ourselves and others. We may be able to mask the problem behind the facade. You may hide it very, very, very well. But Jesus knows, so there's no reason to hide from him. Now, this is very interesting to me. The man gets dropped down in front of him, and Jesus says, thy sins be forgiven thee. The man doesn't say, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you accusing me of? Wait a minute. I didn't come to you to talk about sin. I came to talk about my paralysis. We don't find any resistance from the man with the issue. The only resistance we find is from others. And because there is no resistance, he walks from that place free. Jesus cares about the pain and you suffer and the fear that may be ruling your life when nobody else is all around. We come into the house of God and we feel good for a while because, oh, we sing the praises of God. We hear the word of God and the fear's banished and the fog clears. But, you know, 6 hours later when we're all alone and maybe we're in the presence of somebody that knows us as a sinner, not as a saint. Maybe when our memory floods back of the things that we shouldn't have done, that we did do, it's different. But oh, I want us today to let the voice of the Lord speak with resonance. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Go and sin no more is what he said to the woman. Oh, what we need is liberation that comes from moral purity and spiritual cleanness before him. Jesus cares about the effects that sin has on our life and our family and about where sin is leading us. And yes, I've got to preach about sin if I preach about salvation, because why do we need salvation if there is no sin? I mean, think about it, folks. We're just being real here, right? Why do you need to eat? Because your body needs the fuel, right? Maybe you don't need to eat that much, but you need to eat. Or maybe you don't need to eat that, but you need to eat. And we know that and we understand that. But if you stand with me, I would tell you that I am confident that Jesus will meet you and I at the point of our need today. Jesus isn't somewhere else, but he's right here. Because he inhabits the praise of his people. because we have devoted this place, this sanctuary to Him, just like Solomon did and said, Lord, if we have any need, we want to be able to come here and present that need to You, and we can repent and we can call on Your name. If my people which are called by name, my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayer and I will heal their land, forgive their sins and heal their land. Jesus can speak a creative work into your life and my life today. So we have a chance. And I know how it is to walk away from the doctor and think, well, I'll do some of what he says. Well, you laughed because you're that way too. Well, I was with my doctor a year or so ago and I said, sorry. I said, yeah, I haven't done exactly what He told me to do, and he says, don't worry, I don't know what my doctor says to do sometimes too. That's when I realized my doctor had a doctor. But there's the great physician.
Yes, yes, yes.
He doesn't need any fixing. And he always does what's right because he's holy. But he sees right clear to your backbone when he's looking at you. It's like he has x-ray vision or something. It's almost like he knows how you're wired, how you're made. Like maybe he has a clue how you think. Well, he did kneel down in the dirt of the earth and he formed man of the dust of the ground. Everything else he spoke and it happened from his imagination, his mind, his thoughts. But this one he said, I'm going to just punch it here and there. And he says, I'm going to give him this little bump right here. One day they're going to call it an Adam's apple. Why is that there? And most women don't have it. Why can a guy grow a beard and most women can't? I mean, I shouldn't have gone there. Jesus, forgive me. Why did he make us? He did it intentionally, purposefully, with care. And I've often asked, how can they take your appendix out and say you're going to live without it and you're all right? There's got to be some reason for it there, and it's something else that's got to be working a little harder because it's gone, because God just doesn't senselessly place something in our body or in our world or in our life. He knows exactly what you and I are thinking right now. And he's here to speak into our lives and say, thy sins be forgiven thee. And so today, whether or not you think your struggles are attached to sin, I'm going to ask us to just bring ourselves to Him and say, God, if there's sin in my life, I want You to cleanse me. And if you know that it's there, be a man or a woman of God and just face it. It would be the most senseless thing to go to the doctor and not tell him what your real symptoms are. Because you're going to walk out and he's going to give you instructions on what you can do and what medicine you can take according to the symptoms that you declared to him, because he's trying to take care of the symptoms. But the beautiful thing about Jesus is he doesn't just take care of the symptoms. He takes care of the source. And he could have said, rise, take up your bed and go home. And eventually he did. But he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, is there anybody that just wants to come and stand or kneel in the presence of the Lord and say, search me, cleanse me, try me. Oh God, I want to be pure. I want to be right before you. Because John the Beloved wrote in 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive for Him. because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Forgiven. Oh, what joy. Here we are, Jesus, in your presence.